and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
You're looking very chipper.
Well, thank you.
In your
very
KUT.
Much.
Yes, what I've is got, that called? That little sweater.
I don't know, like a vest.
A vest.
Or,
it's called
a
vest.
I
very
guess
nice.
I would call that a vest. Well, thank you.
How many episodes will I have to be on before I will be awarded one of those KUT?
I don't know. I'll have to ponder that.
Actually, and please don't, because I can only wear things that say Southwestern University
okay.
on it.
So we can put a piece of like tape over it. Well,
I do have one that says Southwestern.
Yes.
Mine's gray, and,
oh,
and it has Southwestern University embroidered in it, just in the same location yours is. But yours is very attractive.
Well, thank you very
90,
much.
90.5.
That's us. That's where you can find us.
Thank you.
So I want to let you know, we've been hearing from listeners to the podcast. You know, we ask if people have ideas for episodes that they write in and let me know.
Oh,
and
do tell.
So one of the math questions,
they're setting in math equations for me to solve.
There are some math questions. There are some ideas for episodes. And Elizabeth sent in an email. She's a listener, and she had what I think is a great idea for an episode. So what I want to do is kind of let you know what she was asking about.
Okay.
Let's talk about that today.
Sure.
She wants you and me to talk about the pros and cons of letter grades. You know, A, B, C, D, F. Mm-hmm. She had an interesting experience. Her high school, where she went to school, happened to not have letter grades. Then when she began her higher ed career, she went to an institution that did have letter grades. So she's got kind of a foot in both of those backgrounds, so an interesting perspective. And she just kind of wanted to hear, you know, why we even have them, if there's value to them, and maybe what might happen, you know, if we didn't have them.
A very thought-provoking question. I really like that. And of course, you know, you can debate these things forever. I think the question is, what do grades represent?
Yeah.
And what meaning do they hold for us? And to me, the meaning, and we can argue whether they should exist or not, but to me, the meaning is, does the individual, has the individual come to a mastery, whatever that means in whatever area of human thought or creativity the student's engaged? But it's not clear, you know. The moment you start to articulate, here are the requirements, you know, the first day handout, you know, here 20% of your grade is this, 50% of your grade is that. Well, then that is what we, not just our students, but we focus on. When you tell us how we're going to be measured, then those are going to be the metrics that we use. And if it is what we've been talking about for the past year and a half or so now together, which is about this life-enriching, life-changing experience, generating practices to become a lifelong learner, then these mechanical things seem a little bit artificial. The other problem I have with grades is that for many of these grades, they're ongoing. So let's take a math class. So you'll take, let's say, three exams. So if you take a calculus class with me, there will be three exams and a final.
Okay, so you've got three exam grades and then a final grade,
that's
right?
That's right. Let me just think about that. That's right. No, it's not true. Sorry. I have two exam grades and a final. So there's three exams total.
Right.
Okay. So the first one is about a third of the way into the semester in calculus. The second one is about two-thirds. And then the last one is a cumulative final on all the material. So when I was just a newly minted PhD and overly enthusiastic, energetic math professor, I thought grades were the be-all and end-all. And so you take those three exams, and then I each count each one, let's say, you know, 25%, and then there's some homework and other stuff, and that's your grade. Boom. I don't care about anything else. And now that I've mellowed and withered on the vine, but also I think matured as an educator, I realize now that if you're going to give grades, and we can debate, as Elizabeth wants, whether we should even do that or not, but if we're going to give grades at all, shouldn't they measure your abilities and your engagement with the material as you leave my class? And so now I give that first exam. Suppose that you don't do well on it because you're just not kind of with it yet. But by the end, you have this triumphant moment where you've really mastered and made meaning of calculus. I'm going to penalize 25% of your grade because it took you a little longer than the standard one-third, one-third, and then done? Of course not. So now I'll drop those if you do better on the cumulative final. So I'm still giving grades, but I'm now acknowledging that most improved player will benefit.
Well, it's interesting you say that because we actually had also an email from another listener named Trixie who has a couple of other questions that we'll get to a little bit later. But she also wondered, separate email, if credit should be given for progress in mastering a subject versus kind of the outcome or finished product. So, you know, I guess asking, is there value in kind of measuring your progress along the way, which I guess kind of homework assignments do, or shorter term assignments versus a big final paper or a big final test.
Well, I'm thinking about this even more globally in terms of courses and material. Mm-hmm. So in terms of measuring progress, suppose that there's a math student who, for whatever reason, just takes a long time to learn something like pre-calculus or college algebra. So they can't just do it in a semester.
Uh-huh.
Well, why not just measure that which they were able to do well and then have them continue to study the stuff that they're still engaged with and have yet to master? And so maybe for that student, so maybe semesters don't make sense. Maybe the courses don't make sense. Maybe we should just have that you keep learning the material at your own pace, engaged and being mentored by faculty. This is a whole, you know, vision of education that, you know, is not even practical at the moment. And when you are ready and you have mastered that suite, then you get credit, as Trixie says, for college algebra. And maybe it takes you a year. Now, you never failed it.
Uh-huh.
It just took you longer. Why is it that every single student we expect to be able to complete a suite of material or understand a bit of knowledge or a piece of human creativity in one semester or two semesters? Maybe it takes someone longer. Maybe it's faster. Maybe you can get through college algebra in half a semester. Well, then you should get full credit for it, 4 credits or whatever, and then move right on to pre-calculus, and then we do finish that. So in terms of giving credit for the work done, it's a very interesting model. Now, it's very expensive because we have faculty who are going to move these individuals, and how will those courses work?
Uh-huh.
Maybe technology plays a part of that. And maybe there's a way to think about the curriculum and how we teach. But maybe it should be done by giving credit when the people have mastery. And if you don't have mastery, you don't fail. You just keep learning. Wouldn't that be a great habit to instill?
Is there a value in grades? It's such a long-standing system. And, you know, we're happy when we get an A. We're sad if we get a D. Is there any value in that structure and the giving of earning of grades? I know it's kind of arbitrary because somebody's A here is not going to be somebody's A there, but is there value?
I would say there's some value, but not as much as people might think. I think there is a little value to grades, especially, I mean, an A versus an F, that tells me something.
Mm-hmm. So it does give information.
It gives some information. But if you have an A minus or a B plus or a C plus, it begins to mean less. And as you say, an A here, an A there, different teachers have different philosophies as to how they grade. So, but I do think the problem with grading is that people focus on the grades. I'll, for example, if you were to go on to graduate school, we've talked about graduate school in the past. If you go on to graduate school, far more important than the grades, unless you're failing all the subjects, all the courses in that subject, are the letters of recommendation. Because that now is a narrative that tells a story written by individuals who are practitioners in the field who also really know the student. And so that narrative is far more meaningful than a generic A, B plus, A minus, B. If someone says, you know, this person wasn't challenged in that course and got disinterested and actually did worse. This person worked really, really hard and got a B plus, but I've never seen a student work so hard and prove that they had that maturity. That's what graduate schools want to see. That's what businesses want to see. So graduate schools, business, the things that you do after you finished your formal education at the undergraduate level, they care more about the narrative than the grades. But if you have 500 applications, you've got to get a way through sifting through them, whether you're a business, a corporation, a nonprofit, a graduate program, and grades and even standardized test scores, which we can have a whole thing on that because I hate those. They measure, I think, almost nothing.
Let's talk about that in a future episode.
Sure, yeah. I will not reveal my SAT scores, but let me tell you, not good. But the point is, it's not clear what you're measuring. And I think that if we gets back to something we discussed a long time ago, the definition of education. If it's a life-changing thing, then somehow it would be amazing to measure that change Yes. I'm done. Oh, no, I'm, I was right. done. Sorry.
All right. You were looking no, for me we to can't say be something. Done yet because okay. you have not introduced the new puzzler.
Oh, do you want another puzzle?
Yes. I've got I think one. It's time. What All is right. the new one?
Okay, here we go. It's a little story.
Oh, good. It's, I love stories. Okay.
I call this the Georgetown Downpour.
Oh, goodness. All right. I'm ready.
So this past spring, we had tons of rain at Southwestern University, which has made our campus even more green and beautiful than usual. On one particular soggy spring day, it began thundering and lightning and raining cats and dogs at the stroke of midnight.
Okay.
Given the stormy weather patterns of the spring, is it possible that 72 hours after this particular thunderstorm began, the weather on campus was sunny?
Is that possible?
That's the question.
Yes.
No, don't answer it. Because okay. You wait till the next episode.
Oh, okay.
This isn't...
There's something in here that is
There is always
tricky.
Something in here. This is called higher ed.
Okay. Listener Elizabeth, I want to get back to another part of her question as sure. we wrap up this episode. She's curious if you think the absence of letter grades would kind of empower students to explore some subjects that they may not explore otherwise.
Yes.
You know, I might have been afraid to take physics in high school because I didn't know if I would, and I'm putting this in quotes, do well
yes.
or even pass or get a good grade. If I didn't have the grade
yes.
possibility hanging over me, you know, my approach might have been different. I might not have been afraid to take it.
Absolutely. In fact, before I started at Southwestern University, at my previous institution, which was another excellent liberal arts institution, this was a problem where students would not take certain courses that interest them and would stretch them because they were afraid of how the impact on their GPA. So I created an entire rubric so that students would have the opportunity to declare up front that this particular course is a stretch course for me. And if the course didn't go so well, but they did reasonably well, so they definitely tried and they were engaged, the professor says they were engaged, the grade would go away. And I got that institution to embrace that, and they put it into effect.
And did you discover that students embraced that? Did they go out and take things that they might not have otherwise explored?
I did not discover that because I left to go to Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas, and became their 15th president.
We're going to assume that students embraced that and took advantage
But so anyway, I was trying to really respond to exactly what Elizabeth was saying. I saw that as a problem, that if grades are going to impede people from exploration, then grades are bad. And then the question is, what are you going to do? Again, it's getting back to something we talked about, regret. What are you going to do about it? If you're faced with a problem, then how do you thoughtfully, not necessarily emotionally react, but how do you thoughtfully try to fix it? And if grades are going to deter people from exploration in education, then we have to find a way to make that deterrent seem less punitive.
Ed Berger, always very thoughtful and thought-provoking conversation. Thanks for helping us keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can always find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.